Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Turning Towards Life. This is Lizzie and Justin, and we are live here on Facebook, but you might be listening on Spotify or YouTube or on our website. And this morning, I want to just welcome us all to this very important and special place, which is our Turning Towards Life podcast, which is a third space project, a third space commitment. Third Space is our little entity that holds this kind of thing, as well as lots of other things like workshops and teachings and wisdom and a professional coaching course that lasts for a year and introductory coaching programs and lots of things. It also holds other people. So the collective that is Third Space is me, Lizzie and Justin, and then four other wonderful colleagues, Amanda, Andy, Sue, and Nina. And so just to say to you all that they are all here with us every week that we do this. And they are huge supporters of this endeavor in the world. And we love them very much. And it feels right to bring them here. I was thinking about them all this morning, Justin, and we're going on this retreat together in May, which is a kind of luxury togetherness that we haven't had for a long time. And I just found myself thinking about everybody and how everyone was going to get breakfast and what we were going to do and whether I should text and say, can you bring cereal and milk? And just that kind of thinking about everybody. So it feels like they're right here with us. And of course, none of this is possible really without all of us as a collective. So I want to really appreciate them. And this poem that you're bringing today, Justin, is about friends and wisdom. And I want to just say thank you to them for being those kind of friends and that kind of wisdom to both of us and for us to each other as well, just as a way of saying hello. And Justin, thank you for, as ever, bringing wonderful sources for us to be with, like you did this one today.
Thanks, Lizzie. Hello, everyone. Well, lovely beginning to throw the net of Turning Towards Life around our wider and wider circles. There's of course all of us, the partners in Third Space, and then I'm now wanting to bring in the whole community of coaches and student coaches and alumni of our programs who are also part of this, many of whom join us live and listening in all the different ways. So welcome to all of you, as well as everyone who's a friend in a different way. Feels very excellent this morning to be I'm feeling myself, Lizzie, right in the midst of this network, this collective of people that also, of course, includes everyone who listens to this podcast or watches the video. You're all thrown into the bounds of this net. So thank you for being with us. And actually, I was thinking this morning, it's late March 2022 when we're recording this, that we're heading towards the beginning of another cohort of our year-long coaching program, which starts in June. And I wanted to mention it this morning because I know that many people who are with us in this podcast might be interested in that kind of possibility of coming to learn with us in a really intense, deep and life-giving way, and then being able to be of service to other people. And we're right in that stage where the next cohort is kind of brewing. So I thought it was worth mentioning because for any of you who are with us, if you're at all interested in that, or you know other people who might be interested, you can drop us a note, you can speak to us, you can email us at Justin or Lizzie or hello at turningtowards.life, but you can also go across to We Are Third Space, and there's all the details about our professional coaching course and our Foundations of Coaching program and all of that, which are so incredibly exciting and life-giving to me. Joyful central commitments. And in a way, Lizzie, this source that I've brought this week, which I found out again through the wonderful work of Parker Palmer, who keeps on introducing extraordinary poems to us. What we'll do for any of you who are new to us is in a moment we'll read this source and then we'll launch into a conversation. Who knows where it will go? But I could feel, Lizzie, how this, what's here in this source is also what, in so many ways, Third Space is really deeply committed to, and what the people who end up being coaches working in the integral development way that we do our own work and teach other people to work are up to, really the question that's here. So maybe everything I'm saying will sort of be an invitation to any of you who are with us, and you can just so welcome to get in contact about any of that. We'd love to speak with you. So here's the source. It's by Marie Howe. You can always find it on our turningtowards.life website or in the notes to the podcast and all of that. It's called My Dead Friends. I have begun when I'm weary and can't decide an answer to a bewildering question, to ask my dead friends for their opinion. And the answer is often immediate and clear. Should I take the job? Move to the city? Should I try to conceive a child in my middle age? They stand in unison, shaking their heads and smiling. Whatever leads to joy, they always answer. To more life and less worry. I look into the vase where Billy's ashes were. It's green in there, a green vase, and I ask Billy if I should return the difficult phone call, and he says yes. Billy's already gone through the frightening door. Whatever he says, I'll do.
I've begun when I'm weary and can't decide an answer to a bewildering question, to ask my dead friends for their opinion. And the answer is often immediate and clear. Should I take the job, move to the city? Should I try to conceive a child in my middle age? They stand in unison, shaking their heads and smiling. Whatever leads to joy, they always answer, to more life and less worry. I look into the vase where Billy's ashes were. It's green in there, a green vase. And I ask Billy if I should return the difficult phone call. And he says, yes. Billy's already gone through the frightening door. Whatever he says, I'll do.
Thanks, Lizzie. Oh my goodness, it's so excellent hearing you read this. I often think, as I've been reading this poem, I've been thinking of my friend Christy, Lizzie, who you knew as well. I often think of Christy when I have to decide something. And I think she's in this poem. And maybe unsurprisingly, right in the heart of this poem, this line, whatever leads to joy, to more life and less worry, and should I return the difficult phone call? And he says, yes. And it's such an excellent collection of possibilities here, because it might look like more life and less worry is some kind of escape. You know, if I commit myself to a more life and less worry, it means I should ignore things, turn away from things, make my life simple, make my life easy. And Billy here says, you have to return the difficult phone call. That more life and less worry is really the same as turning in towards our lives. Like turning right into the life that is here, not running from it, not escaping from it, not trying to push it down, not trying to sort of imagine our way out of it somehow, but right into the middle of our lives, returning the phone call to the person we love, who we've misunderstood or misheard, or who's misheard us, or who we've broken a promise to, or... But I think for me this morning, right in the middle of a time when there's so much uncertainty in the world in so many different aspects, from the very close in to the very, very large, I notice that there's a part of me there are the parts of me that want to escape, right? Escape the world. And that will be my way to more life and less worry. But the other thing that I notice in me is there are parts of me that go, the appropriate response to the difficulty of the world is to pile on worry into my life. I will only meet the world if I feel really worried and really afraid and really confused and really conflicted and really like my inner state has to somehow match the suffering of the world. And then I read about and hear about suffering in all kinds of places, and I'm meant to somehow suffer because everybody's suffering. That would be appropriate. And my friends who are no longer here say, just like Mary Howe says, your job is to live. Your job is to seize the opportunity to fill your life with as much life as you can, because you're still here. And sometimes that's returning the difficult phone call. And sometimes it's taking the job. And sometimes it's escaping to the countryside. And sometimes it's saying no. But I feel so moved, Lizzie, this morning by this call to life, to not being the ones who give up the commitment to live because we're worried about whatever it is that we should be taking care of.
I too, Justin, I feel so drawn towards the line, whatever leads to joy, to more life and less worry. I also have this response as well, that often for me, what leads to more life does lead to more worry. like when I think of taking up more of the things that are most precious to me, I can also feel like the matching level of, there's way more at stake now. And I can also see that there's a way of making decisions that would produce less worry, like as if they were different things. But it's so clear to me that one of the reasons to not do things is because I would worry. And so this call for things to, like whatever leads to joy, whatever leads to more life, it may produce worry, but it's all worth it because it's life itself that I'm saying yes to. And to have this reminder, this message from beyond, from our friends who are no longer with us. And it's so funny, Justin, you posted this poem on Friday. And I had been literally kind of tracking back through my life of people along the way who've died, my friends who've died along the way, who haven't been old, who haven't been ill. You know, there have been a lot of, in my view, a lot, probably 6 or 7 people who were in my friendship died along the way in various different ways. And I was thinking about my relationships to them and what they might view life as now, given that they no longer are in their bodies and their consciousness is no longer right here. In body, what would they say about all of this? And then you posted this poem. And so I was already kind of wondering and thinking about my cousin, you know, that they are examples of how life is just not a given. Things happen and tragedies happen and we're here. And so how do I be in service to that, knowing that this isn't a given? And so this question of how to make moves in my life and what to move towards, and for it to be a guiding light, that what does more life and more joy mean, and how do I make decisions in line with that, feels very respectful of life itself and also the life that's not in bodies anymore, that is and was and will be precious to me. So I feel the respect and the dignifying of life inside of this piece of Marie Howe's reflection. And I feel like I can never not be invited enough. Like it's always good to be invited into what leads to more joy, what has more life in it. Like let them be the guiding questions of my life. Feels like what the invitation of this whole thing is. And as you say, many, many times, that's the difficult thing. It's not like a life of roses and a life of everything being just fine. It's kind of the opposite in a way. It's just like, it might include that, but it's also many, many other things. And life is a full spectrum, not just a selection of things that are preferable or that are easy. Life is a full spectrum of emotions, of circumstances, of things that happen. And when I ask myself and feel really truthful with myself, I have said yes to a full life, not like a quarter life or a eighth life. I have said yes to this. That's what I'm called to do, is to say yes to it all. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. And so then saying yes to it all, what does that really mean? And how can I deepen my relationship to being here, to accepting what is, so that I can receive the fullness of life, whatever's in that, I say yes to.
I really love what you're saying about a quarter life or a half life or an eighth life, Lizzie. And sort of the funny thing about it, in a way, one of the reasons this Mary Howe's works spoke to me, is the life of less life and more worry is very easy for me. There are parts, sort of protective parts of me, that would do that, you know, like that. That's the answer. And generate huge amounts of, not, I suppose maybe one of the differences for me here in the language is there's a life of paying attention and taking care with all of the consequences of that, that what taking care of what and who we love for, with all of the pain of it and all of the sublime joy of it that's possible in it. And then there's the life of worry. And that's the one that there are parts of me that are very familiar with, which is to go through life always filled with the worry about what could be, what might be, what I'm not yet, what I should be, all of that, none of which is really grounded in a direct lived experience of life. It's all a sort of project of generating reasons to withhold and reasons to pull back and reasons to stay out and reasons to not receive the life that's right here, whatever it is, whether it's grief-filled or joy-filled, but to not receive this life. And the troublesome twist in it is that very often those parts of me, the kind of logic of them goes, well, people I love are dead. People around the world are suffering. So now I have to generate all of this. But when I do what Mary Howe invites us to do, and I ask my dead friends what they make of it, the answer is always immediate and clear. Really is, which is enough of that. You have one very brief time to be in this embodied life, live in it. And that means putting aside unnecessary worry, which just adds suffering on top of the inevitable suffering that we have, and say yes to more life in every way. Because it's very brief and very precious and very sacred, they say. And we had it and we don't have it now. So please, for us, take it too. And that means everything, including returning the phone call that you don't want to return, that you know needs to be, is calling to you to return. That's yes to life. And it's also more life and less worry. When I ask my dead friends, there's this sort of pattern I can get into of, should I or shouldn't I, should I or shouldn't I, should I return the call, should I speak to Lizzie about this, should I? And I ask them, they go, oh, of course you should. It's obvious. Mm. And it makes me, it sort of awakens in for me that there is this way in which more often than not, and in surprising ways, it is often obvious what leads to more life and less worry. It's often not that complicated. But then we complicate it ourselves. We add on layers and layers and layers of what if and but and trying to protect myself and everything. And the real gift here is that those parts of me that want to do all of that kind of protecting in the presence of the ones I love who are no longer here, those parts, when they feel the love and care and truthfulness of those ones, my protective parts are much more likely to go, it's safe enough to do the real thing. And on my own, they're more likely to go, you know, to sort of ramp up there.
Yeah.
So I'm feeling really, really grateful for the ones who went before. Whatever kind of life they lived, however much worry they had, and however much or less of life they had, in their absence, they teach me this.
Oh my goodness, so many things happening when you're talking, Justin. For me, I'm in that situation. I'm often in here where I have to pick a thread because there's lots presenting themselves to me. And when you were talking, I'm going to pick this one. This is, I think, talking about people who are actually not in their bodies anymore. I can also feel, you know, Justin, that we did Turning Towards Life in the first place. We began with no kind of production quality or plan, just a small structure of every Sunday at 9 o'clock. We would sit here and we'd have a source, that's all we had, and it would be for half an hour. And I'm reminded of Seth Godin and his minimum viable product definition, which is just ship something. It's okay. It's probably really good already. There's a good chance it's really good already. You don't have to make it perfect and get all your marketing sorted out. And you can actually be the thing that you want to be, and that's good enough. And that's the kind of basis that we worked on from the beginning for Turning Towards Life. And to me, what also happened is the parts of us died that would have us polish something and would have us make it right before we did it and check everything. And so there's a kind of beyondness in the parts of us that we let go of in order to enter into something which is more life and has brought great joy and huge amounts of life towards us. And we have participated in different ways because of this. And so those parts that are no longer here, the worried parts that died in order for us to be able to sit here and do this and just say yes and see what happened and then keep on seeing what happened. When I ask them what we should do now, those parts of us that were afraid and thought this wouldn't be good enough and all of the things we had to just let go of, they're also dead in a way. And what we said yes to was more life, and what we said yes to was less worry. And this is a small project by comparison to lots of things, but it really helps me to see that we can do things, we can make moves, we can make decisions, and parts of us have to be let go of in order to do that. And what I also know, Justin, is that we kind of made this decision together to do this, but you saying yes to more life, yes to things that bring you joy, leads me to those places too. Like, we can do that for each other. And so it's not like all of these decisions are lone decisions or something. They have much impact on the people around us as well. So when you choose more life and more joy and less worry, I feel like I get to do that too. Like, it's permission giving to be around someone who's doing that. who's being that way in the world. And in a way, turning towards life is one of those things. And I can't really remember the exactness of how it got born, but I know without your bravery and courage and ambition, I probably wouldn't be here. So it feels to me also like an act of leading the way and showing what's possible that happens, and that others can be in our slipstream. Like, I'm in your slipstream for sure. And maybe you're in my slipstream too. Like, we're in each other's slipstreams around the yesness to life. And I feel like all of the parts of me that are older and have been let go of are completely also egging me on to keep saying yes, because they didn't really matter in the end, if you know what I mean. Like, all of their concerns, all of their worries weren't what was really true anyway. And maybe that's what the parts of us that are gone, and also the people around us who have left their bodily life, can also see, which is that all of that wasn't really where it was at. That wasn't the thing to focus on. You are different than you might think. You have more power. You are more beautiful than you understand. You are more capable than you know. You have more resource than you could imagine. There's more faith with every layer of you that's uncovered. There's all kinds of teaching that I can feel from the parts of me that have gone, but also really from the people who've gone as well.
It's so excellent talking about this, what we're doing now in this light, Lizzie. So thank you for bringing this in. I am in your slipstream. It's one of the things that makes this possible, is that we both are the ones who lead the way with one another and for one another and for everyone. And what talking about turning towards life is really getting me onto, which is really excellent to see, I'm enjoying seeing it, is that much in the way that you're describing, that we got going with this without worrying. We said, we're not going to worry about the outcome. We're not going to worry about where this leads. We don't know. Maybe nobody will ever listen to this. Maybe a million people will listen. We don't know. We're still in that. We don't know. But we're going to be faithful to one another and to our lives and to a practice and to a possibility. That is more life. And we're going to do it in a way that is less worry. We're not going to obsess about, we can't do this, because we're just going to get on and faithfully turn towards our own lives and turn towards one another. And I think that that's, if I turn back towards Marie Howe's writing, but also this invitation she makes for us to ask the ones who are no longer in their bodily lives and see what they say, because we know. I think that what they say, all the ones for me say, and all the parts of me that also died and along the way or took up a new life along the way, they all say, stop worrying about how it's going to turn out. Stop trying to game life like you can win it, because that move, that's the one that produces all the worry. Should I be this? Should I be that? How will it go? And instead, bring yourself into life faithfully. It's not about how it turns out, because we know how it turns out. And it turns out the same for everyone in the end. Some of us sooner and some of us later. Mm. But what a path to walk along the way if we'll walk it. And then the choices are, as they say, whatever leads to joy, which I think joy is not, joy is such the right word here. It's not happiness. Joy can include happiness, but joy can include grief and sorrow and longing and all kinds of things. Turn towards what will be filled with life's joy. Return the difficult call. Get going with things that matter to you. reach out to the people who you love and who love you, receive your life and the life of others, bring yourself in service to life, all of those, that's what we get called to do. Not will the job work out, will moving to the city work out, what will my life be if I have a child in my middle age? That's not the, how will it work out isn't the right question. The question is what kind of life will pour forth from those decisions right now. That's the primary question for us to ask. And I am sort of caught with this difficult phone call thing because it seems such like an affront in a way to the joy thing, but it's not. What kind of life will ensue if I don't have the conversation that's called for with the person that I'm called to speak to?
Yeah. And as you say that, Justin, I'm questioning, like, what does it mean to be a person who can pick up the phone and have a difficult phone call? Like, not the person who receives the call, but moves towards and goes, I'm going to move towards the difficulty. What is that? And what does it, who do we have to be in order for that to feel like it's possible? And it's hard, and it's meaningful, and it's good, and it's right. And moving in towards the difficulty is a thing that we're just, yeah, our culture doesn't talk about that. And yet it's often what's required in order for this more joy and more life to be there. So I'm just thrown into this inquiry about what are those difficult things in my life that I could move more towards, and what would it bring? And I can feel truthfulness in it. I can feel the fear in it, and I can feel the, oh yeah, that it really matters, that just doesn't go kind of pushed under the carpet for 100 years or something. So I'm really grateful for all of this, Justin. I can feel myself enlivened and recentered, and it's such an extraordinary thing that happens here every Sunday for me. I can find myself coming back to wakefulness or something. I'm so grateful that all of these sources exist and we exist for one another so that we can, I don't know, you know, it's very curious to me, like, what is even happening anyway? We're using language, making sounds, and in the making of those sounds and making meaning of them, there's some kind of homecoming that happens where more feels possible and different things feel alive, and I can find my faith in life again. It's really wonderful. So thank you so much for being here for this.
Yeah, thank you, Lizzie. Also for walking with me and with many others the path of more life. I'm very grateful. And to all of you who are with us, thank you for walking the path to more life too. And you're so welcome to share this with other people. If you think other people would benefit from this conversation or from Turning Towards Life as a whole, it's really easy to share. Just send them the website or tell them about the podcast or invite them to the Facebook group. So that's it for today, and all being well, we will be back again next Sunday for a source that you're going to bring us, Lizzie. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, everybody.